Well, this morning as we come to encounter God in and through his word, I'd like to have you do something before we start that time, because I want you to feel what I'm going to talk about before I talk about it. And I realize that in a minute you're going to say to yourself or maybe even say to your neighbor, doesn't he know this is really weird? Doesn't he know that this is uncomfortable? And yes, I do. I am aware of that. But I want you to do something for me. Like I said, again, to help you feel and what we're about to talk about. If I would like you to turn to the person next to you or behind you or somewhere close to you. If you know them well, great. If not, that might even be better. But I want you to turn to them, okay, somewhere next to you, and I want you to look at them. Okay, if you want to even have a little staring contest right now, that would be okay. Okay, gaze into their eyes, okay, to the depth of their soul. Okay, maybe even notice something about them like, you know, a blemish on their face or a nose hair that's poking out, you know, whatever it might be. Really look at the person sitting next to you. Okay, thank you. Thank you for indulging me in doing that. I mean, I've been here for a whole week already. You should be used to me by now. And you should also know that I have middle schoolers at home, and so there's that age when the sarcasm part of their brain just suddenly engages and turns on, and that's where we're at right now. So if, you know, if it affects me a little, just so you know that that's why. Well, this morning we're looking at John again, John 1, and I mentioned last week that John talks a lot about firsts, and when something happens first in the Gospel of John, you can bet that he's trying to say something about all of the other kinds of things like that that will come after. He's kind of setting a pattern or giving us a prototype, and so the first sign that John talks about will tell us something about all the other signs that follow. This morning we're talking about the first followers of Christ and what that tells us about what it means to be a follower of Christ. And again, last week I talked about how John thought differently. John was convicted that what Christ did changed the universe, changed everything, and that changed how he looked at and thought about everything. I also mentioned last week that there would be a first mistake somewhere along the line, right? My first mistake, well, this morning, the first mistake I made was I didn't include enough verses in the sermon for this morning. That was the first small mistake. I'm sure that there will be a first big mistake coming up here sometime soon. But instead of starting in verse 43, we're going to be starting in verse 35 and going to 51. Hear now the word of the Lord. The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples, and when he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them and following and asked, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying, and they spent that day with him. It was about 4 in the afternoon. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who had heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah, that is the Christ." And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which when translated is Peter. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me." Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. And Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of God." "Nazareth? Can anything good come from there?" Nathanael asked. "Come and see," said Philip. And when Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, "Here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." "How do you know me?" Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, "I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you." Then Nathanael declared, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus said, "You believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. You will see greater things than that." He then added, "Very truly, I tell you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." Thus far, the word of the Lord. In these glimpses of Jesus' first follower, we see something that we don't often think about when it comes to following Jesus. Did you notice how many times the verb look or to see or behold is in these verses? It's all over the place. Look, the Lamb of God. It's the first thing that John says to two of his followers, and we often forget how human this whole thing was. They were following John because they knew that things needed to be different. And somehow they also knew that John was doing something that would maybe help make that happen. And when John then says, "This is the person who I've been preparing you for, look, behold, the Lamb of God," who we're just told does what? What did John just say about Jesus when he called him the Lamb of God the first time just before this? "The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Not just some sin, not just for some people, not just appropriate kinds of sin, or ones that we don't think are as big of a deal as some other ones, but the sin of the world. So the first thing we need to know about following Jesus is it begins with Jesus removing the sin of the world so that we can, without any barrier, without any hindrance, indeed follow. Look, the Lamb of God. And so they follow. And what does Jesus say as they're following behind and ask them, "What do you want?" And they say, "Where are you staying?" And Jesus says, "Come and see." Followers of Jesus are people who come and see, who want to see what's going on. Come and see. And just in that afternoon with Jesus, of spending just those few short hours with him, they become convinced. Somehow, in that interaction, in what Jesus does and says and is, we've found the Messiah. And so the first thing they do is go to others, their brother, their friend, whoever. "You need to come and see this guy that Moses talked about, that is the Messiah that we have been waiting for." And so when Peter is invited to come and see by Andrew, who we all know in the Gospels is always bringing people to Jesus, right? "Come and see." Jesus sees Peter and says, "You are Simon, son of John, but you will be called Cephas, the rock." And so Jesus sees in Simon, in Peter, something that Peter didn't even see, probably about himself. And it's not that it wasn't there, it's that it was buried. that the sharp edges of Peter needed to be chipped away so that what he would become could be revealed, could be seen. Do any of you know somebody who has that kind of gift of seeing you, of really seeing people? When I was in seminary, I went to a school that was started by a person named Dr. James Houston. He's friends, or was friends, with C.S. Lewis, was at Oxford with him, and had this vision for a school somewhere on the Pacific Rim that trained lay people primarily, and then began to train people for ministry. And he was known as one of those people who just could get to know you in a very brief time and really see something that was pointed about you. And he would often tell students, even after just briefly meeting them, something that they then wrestled with literally the rest of the time they were at Regent. I had a friend who was in an introductory small group with him when they had kind of a welcome to campus a day. And after just about 15 minutes of being in this group with her, Dr. Houston looked at her and said, "There is an air of forced artificiality about you." Okay? And she literally, for the next few years, meant, what did he mean by that? What in the heck is forced artificiality anyway? But as she chewed on that, and as God worked in and through that word, she began to realize that there were some things that God was trying to put his finger on as Dr. Houston saw her. And that as she wrestled with them, she began to grow. She began to change. Nathanael is seen by Jesus. Jesus says, "Here is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit," but then it talks about how he sees him under the tree. Following Jesus is about seeing and being seen. Allowing ourselves to be seen and to be known. And if we're honest, that is hard, right? When you were staring at the person next to you, it was a little uncomfortable, right? A little difficult, a little awkward. Being seen is not necessarily easy, because that's most of us ever since our human parents decided to go another way. Instead of God's way, we have wanted to hide. We have wanted to fly under the radar. But following Jesus is about letting yourself be seen. And getting past that whole thing of, if they really knew. If they really knew how I treated my wife a few days ago, or my kids a week ago, or whatever it is. They wouldn't really love me. They wouldn't really want me to be their pastor if they really saw, if they really knew. And all of us, all the time, I'm convicted, are constantly struggling with that whole thing of wanting to hide, wanting to cover up, and of God saying, "I need to see you. Because in being seen and being known, you will be made whole. You will be healed. You will become Cephas, the rock. Because you are known." And then Jesus goes on to say, "You saw me tell you that you were under the fig tree, but you will see even greater things than that. You will see angels descending on the Son of Man, coming down from heaven." And as soon as we hear that, Genesis 28 should come to mind. And Jacob, and what we often call Jacob's ladder. And Jacob slept in the desert and encountered God in a vision where he saw angels descending and coming up and down from heaven. And he said, "Surely God was in this place, and I didn't know it." And so he calls the place Bethel, the place where God showed up. When we allow ourselves, when we begin to open ourselves up to being seen and known by God, God does something amazing in and through that. He allows us to become Bethels. He allows us to become places where heaven and earth come together, and the world around us begins to get glimpses of what that looks like, because heaven and earth were intended to be together and not separated. And what separated it? Sin. But what has happened to sin? It has been taken away.
Amen.
Thank you, Steve. And so in being seen and being known, we become places where heaven and earth come together. And so may you, even though it's uncomfortable, even though it is wonderful and fearful at the same time, may you be seen by God. May you be seen by those around you, known for who you really are, but even more than that, in what you are becoming in and through God at work in you. Because as you do, others will get glimpses of heaven and earth coming together. And so may it be so.